I'm Elizabeth Hay, and I'm going to read from Alone in the Classroom, and the part I'll read establishes the villain, and his name is Parley Burns, Parley, because he taught French. And this section introduces you to him as he is introduced to Connie, the teacher. And the two of them, throughout the book, you know, draw each other out. And it's a relationship that lasts, really, until the end of the book. He had entered her life on the last day of September in 1929, tweedy, sophisticated, perverse, an excellent teacher who doubled as principal. He arrived 3 weeks late, an otherwise punctual man. Jewel was the name of the town in the southwest corner of Saskatchewan. Before he arrived, and desperate, she had written La Fenêtre on a piece of paper and taped it to the window, La Chaise to the back of a chair, La Porte to the door. But how could she teach French when she didn't speak a word? The Ontario High School French Reader, edited in 1921 by Ferguson and McKellar, those two fine Frenchmen, and reprinted nearly every year thereafter, was the only text she had. It included a long passage about Jeanne d'Arc's great victory at Orléans. The story carried her into the France of 1429, exactly 500 years ago, an easy sum, where word by word she deciphered how Joan was wounded and fell off her horse and taken for dead, how her followers fled until she pulled the arrow out of La Plaie, wound, feminine, got back on her horse, inflamed her soldiers, and drove the English out. Connie made the story as hair-raising as possible. Her success as a teacher would rely on these basics. She could throw a ball, catch a ball, smack a ball with a bat. She knew some blood-curdling poems more or less by heart and recited them out of the blue when restlessness overcame her. Sennacherib came down like a wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming in purple and gold. One morning he was there, a bachelor of 35, with dark hair turning gray at the sides, and eyes that undressed a woman, clinical, dry, chafing, light brown eyes that plumbed the depths of female inadequacy. He came into her classroom and sat at the back and observed. No chalk on his clothes, no ink stains. A marbled fountain pen, purpley mother of pearl, jutted out of his breast pocket. And one day, he took over her class and talked about Tess of the D'Urbervilles, the French influence, the Gallic strand, through everything we say and feel. You're standing on French soil, he said. Remember that. Prairie, from the French for meadow. A door swung open for her then, and it opened in that small town in the West, thanks to Ian Burns, Ian Parley Burns. He liked to enter her classroom without warning, a curt nod in her direction, and her hand went to her throat, and the students rose in a single swoosh, a covey of grouse, flushed by a gunshot, but no escape, no sky, for there was the peeling plafond above their heads. He swept the class with his pale eyes, then proceeded to a straight-backed chair in the corner in the back. He sat down, and the children followed suit. Given what Parley Burns did, and what happened to him in the end, Connie never tired of mulling over what kind of person he was deep down. He wasn't handsome, she told me, but he was distinguished and very attractive to lonely women. Something fashionable, almost feminine in his manner, unsettled and excited them, a sensitivity channeled into the dry bed of bachelorhood. Yet he was far from dry. He was an intricately wired man. The smell of eggs turned his stomach. He smiled when he smiled by baring his teeth and holding the grimace to a count of five. A long time. A very long time, if you were suggestible.